I want to talk about one of my favorite subjects is living the good life in Christ. I want to talk about being in Christ and redemptive realities. You know, people are pursuing good life, and it begins by knowing who you are in Christ. Acts 17:28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." Also, some of your own poets have said this, "For we also his offspring." This was Paul talking. I want to read from several different translations. "It's through him that we live, function, and have our identity, just as your own poets have said, our lineage comes from him." And then the Fenton translation, "For from him we live and move and exist, as also some of your own poets have said, that we do originate with him." Message Bible. "We live, we move in him, we can't get away from him. Our poet said it well, we are God created." Notice these expressions, "in him." The Apostle Paul had this great revelation. It's called the Pauline revelation. Now that's a theological term, the Pauline revelation. And you find this expressly in Paul's writings. Now some of the other there in the epistles, they say some things, but Paul is the one that really brings it out. And if you do not know the realities of who you are in Christ, you will never experience the good life that he wants you to experience. You know, as New Testament believers, we need to spend most of our time reading in the epistles, and especially the Pauline epistles, or the epistles that Paul wrote. In those epistles, we find such expressions as "in Christ," "in him," "in whom," "by Christ," "through Christ," which refers to we believers' spiritual condition. He wants us to live the good life. The expression "in Christ" actually refers to who we are, what we have, and what we can do in Christ. Now, my father put together a little book called "In Him," and I highly recommend that you read this at least once a quarter. You know, in this book, little book, how many of you have "In Him"? Good, good. Just don't have it. Look at it. It wouldn't be bad to look at it and read something in it every day. Because the more you understand who you are in Christ, the greater life you're going to have. He said that there's about 140 verse or 140 expressions "in him," by him, in whom, by Christ, through Christ. Now we're not going to look at all of them, but I'm going to read some of them. I just want to give you, most of you already know all this, but I want to give you a refresher course. All right. John 15:7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it shall be done." Romans 5:17, "If by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ," through Jesus. Romans 8:1-2, "Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made us free from the law of sin and death." Romans 8:37, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." 1 Corinthians 1:30, But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be unto God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, through us diffuses or imparts the fragments of his knowledge in every place. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Colossians 1:13-14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of Light, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sin. Now, these verses are all listed in that little book. And really, they provide a real foundation for the life that God intended us to have. You know, you could just go and start reading these verses, and all of a sudden you might be down. You'll begin to feel something. Now, we don't live by feeling, but you cannot read the Word of God without getting a feeling, an expression, and a feeling of that you belong, a feeling that it's going to happen, a feeling that, you know, we don't live by feeling. But, you know, hearing these verses, as you begin to read these verses, it lifts you out of depression. You can't read the Word of God without it lifting you up. I don't know how many times that I have done funeral services. Now they call them memorial services. They changed the name, but a lot of things have changed the name, you know. But you could have the family sitting there and they could be really, really distraught. And you start reading scripture and all of a sudden it changes. You can see the expression on their face change. Everything changes. You can't read the Word of God without it making a change. And you especially cannot read these scriptures in him, through him, by him, in Christ. All of those, you can't read those without it really charging you up. You know, now everyone needs to know in Christ scriptures, because it will bring us into a reality of life. Sometimes we fail to grasp the importance of in Christ, or in him, or by him, or through him. You know, when Christ came into Christ, we were born again, that's the only way to get in him. Look at some of the examples and compassions of things that maybe help us understand it a little better. Being in a family means you belong to that family. You're a part of that family. You're a member of that family. Being in a family allows you certain privileges and rights. You know, I tell the story all the time, but Denise was, I don't know, Pastor Denise, she was about 4 or 5, I guess, about 5 maybe, and she was just running down the hall, going to her pawpaw's office, my dad's office, and this person stopped her and said, little girl, quit running in the hall. And she wheeled around and she said, do you know who I am? And then wheeled around and took off running again. She knew who she was. She knew that Pawpaw's office was right down there. Her Pawpaw, that's what she called him. And that she had, because of who she was, she had the right to run down to that office. Now, when she got there, she didn't even bother to stop. His door was closed, but she went right on through the secretary's office. At that time, they call them secretaries. Now, I think they call them assistants, but anyway. And she opened the door and went right on in. Why? Because of who she was. She understood who she was. Come on now. We need to get that same understanding of who we are in Christ. And when the devil comes jumping on us, we need to say, you know who I am? You know who I am? You know, over there, those seven sons of Sceva, they're going to try to cast the devil out of that guy. And the devil spoke up in him and he said, hey, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? Let me let you understand this. When you really begin to know who you are in Christ, listen, the devil knows who you are. So we need to realize, hey, we are members of the family of God. Therefore, we enjoy certain rights and privileges because of who we are. We're in the world, and we're in this planet and in this society, and we're immersed in this world. We're surrounded by this world. We live in this world. In the physical, we exist in this world. But now going back to Acts 17:28, Paul said, in him we live and move and have our being. We're living two lives at the same time. We're living a natural life and a spiritual life at the same time. We're members of two worlds at the same time. We're members of a natural family here in the natural, and we're members of God's family over here in the spiritual. And, you know, it's not all natural, but it's not all supernatural. It's when they come together, you bring the natural into the supernatural and something begins to happen. You know, we run on two tracks. A train can't run on one track. We run on two tracks. We run on the natural track and the spiritual track. And God wants us, if you'll realize who you are in Christ, then you realize that he wants you to have a good life in the natural as well in the spiritual side. Now, some people want to go all the spiritual side, and some people want to go all the natural side. No, there's a balance between. My dad used to say, and he used to say, son, I can't figure people out. I said, what are you talking about, Dad? He said, well, they can't get a balance. They either swing way over here in the natural, or they're saying way over here out of character in the spiritual when the balance is down the middle. That's what he used to tell me all the time. You know, in Christ means we're immersed in Christ. We're surrounded by Christ. We're living in Christ. We're existing in Christ. What we have and what we do is because of Christ. You know, now a branch is connected to the tree. Because it's connected to the tree, it's in the tree. It's part of the tree. And you cut it off from that tree and it'll die, wither and die. That's what happens to a lot of people. They start cutting themselves off from coming to church and being with the people of God. And next thing you know, they're withering up spiritually. And if they don't get back in, hooked up to the vine, they're in trouble. Come on now. See, being in Christ means we're connected. Since we're connected, then we should have the life and the nature of Christ in us. That limb or that vine or that branch on a vine, it is sustained, let me say it that way, by the tree or the vine. We are part of Christ, the family of God. We are sustained through Christ. Our whole being is sustained in Christ. You know, I'm not telling you anything new, but let me tell you something. We need to talk about these things. You need to think about these things. Every day you need to say, let the devil know that you know who you are. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, there's certain spiritual realities that exist in knowing Christ. And they help us to receive the benefits. You know, there's realities in this world. Gravity is a reality in the world. And it works. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you have, how much money you don't have. I don't care, you know, how athletic you are or how clumsy you are. Gravity works for everybody. If I jump off a stage, I'm going to land down there. Because That's the way gravity works. It works because, and hey, seasons work. They're a reality. Summer, winter, spring, fall. They're a reality. Being in Christ is a reality. And these realities exist for us. He became our substitute. He obtained victory for us over Satan. He became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. Our spiritual position is because of who we are in Christ. Do you know what your spiritual condition is? You are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Come on. These are realities of being in Christ. Of course, this is one of my favorite subjects to teach on is the realities, because I guess I got it from Dad, because he was real strong in it, because he said if people would just really understand who they are in Christ, the devil couldn't take advantage of them. That's why I talk about it quite a bit, because I want you to get a hold of the fact that, hey, it doesn't matter what happens, what comes, what goes. You're in Christ, and you're going to be victorious, because we read the scripture said he always gives us triumph in Christ. You know, Christ is ever interceding for us. You know, somebody said it like this: Big Brother's taking care of us. Come on now. He has redeemed us from the curse of sickness, poverty, and death. That's spiritual death. The good life in Christ takes more than just hearing one sermon on Sunday morning. We have to keep hearing it over and over and over again. Just like faith, you have to hear it over and over again. Understanding and living in your realities of who you are in Christ, you need to be reminded of it all the time until it becomes such a part of you that it's like the multiplication table. How many of you went over and over to the multiplication table every year for about 5 years in school? Until it become ingrained in you. It's a part of you. And it's been 63 years since I graduated from high school this May. And do you know what? I still know the multiplication table. Come on. Why? Because they kept going over it and over it and over it and over it and over it until it became a part of me and you. That's why we need to continue to go over who we are in Christ, and so that these realities become so a part of us that when the devil hits us up beside the head, we immediately respond with who we are in Christ. You know, now, God wants us, and I'm getting through quick tonight. God wants us to, maybe I'm going faster than I do normally, but I get a little bit of the preach on. I get that little bit of, you know, I was an evangelist for all those years, and evangelist, he goes, bam, 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 and that's it, you know. Well, I get that sometime here, and I go faster. And I preach, teach, I guess you call it. You know, God wants us to live the good life based on who we are in Christ. Whatever we do as believers, we do because of who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ and what we can do because of him. Now, continually, I'm going to give you a few points here. Continually read the in Christ scriptures daily. Now, when I teach this redemptive realities at school, how many of you were in my redemptive reality class? How many got one of those sheets that's got, I don't know how many in Christ statements is there? Oh, somebody's holding one up right there. And I tell the class, you need to read one of these at least every day, every morning. Get up and read one of these, at least one every day. When you go through the whole list, then turn around and go back through it again. Start all over again. Every day, read an in him or through him or by him scripture. You'd be surprised how it will help you through the day. You know, write them down if you have to. You know, some people remember stuff better when they write it down. I remember better when I read it. I read and remember. Okay? You know, if you don't have that little book in him, go back out of that bookstore and get it. All right? And read those verses over and over and over again. Now, and then the reason I want you to read one of those things every day, saying who you are in Christ, what you are in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, is because as you continue to meditate on that, it becomes a part of you. You know, you can say, I am a child of God because of Jesus Christ. I am a new person in Christ. I am an heir of God. All of this because of Christ, who you are in Christ. I'm an overcomer in Christ. I triumphed in Christ. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law through Christ. I'm made the righteousness of in Christ and cleansed from sin. You know, you need to make these scriptures. Now, I talk about them here, and we get excited about it. And then a couple of weeks from now, after you've been out there and the enemy's been beating on you a little bit, sometimes you tend to forget who you are. Don't get so quiet on me. Now you know it's the truth as well as I do. If I have to continually remind myself of who I am in Christ, you need to continue to remind yourself. Or maybe you're a lot smarter than I am, but I don't think so. The enemy does everything he can to try to block you from recognizing who you are in Christ. Because if he can block you, then when he comes against you with stuff, instead of you saying who you are in Christ, you begin to say, oh, what am I going to do? But if you got a hold of these realities of who you are in Christ, then you begin to tell him what he's going to do instead of him telling you what he's going to do to you. You tell him what to do. Come on now. Like Brother Bill, I'm preaching better than I'm getting amens. I forget how Brother Bill says that. I'm gonna have to remember how he exactly says it. Now, continually make a confession of these in him, by him, through him, truths with your mouth, loud enough that you can hear your own self talk. Don't whisper. Don't get up and say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No, say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Some people, they act like they're afraid the devil's going to hear. That's the very dude you want to hear. You want him to know that you know who you are. And that he can't lord it over you. Come on now. Making these confessions with your mouth. I'm going to read a little portion from page 9 in Dad's book, In Him. As far as God concerned, everything you have or are is in Christ. He has done it. Everything the Bible says is ours, ours legally. The Bible is a legal document sealed by the blood of Jesus. However, it is our believing it and confessing it which makes it a reality to us. That's on page, now on part of page 10 and part of page 11, it says, it may not seem as though you really have what these scriptures say you have in him. But if you will begin to confess with your mouth, because you believe God's word in your heart, this is mine, this is who I am, this is what I have, then it will become a reality to you. And I say it like this, until we fully get a full grasp on in him, it does not become a real reality to us. When you confess these truths in Christ, we're talking about things that are already a reality in the spirit world. And when we begin to say them with our mouth, we're bringing them into a reality in the natural world. You bring the power and the word of God into your natural world by speaking with your mouth. So you, when it comes to facing God, facing the devil, you want to become a motor mouth. Just talk him down. When I was in high school, if there's a person that talked all the time, we called a motor mouth. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, we need to become a motor mouth when it comes to talking about who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ, and letting the enemy know that we know who we are. We can't be quiet. Anybody getting anything out of this? See, when we confess these realities, then we bring them into the physical world that we live in. We need to confess these scriptures and say, this is who I am. This is what I have. This is what I can do in Christ. What I have, what I am, and what I can do is all because of him. All because of him. Not because of how smart I am, and you may be real smart. But I'm going to tell you what, you're smarter when you really get a hold of the word of God. You know, the word of God, you begin to confess who you are in Christ. I confess all the time, I have wisdom. Because I'm in Christ. Come on. I thank God all the time. I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that because of you, I will make good decisions today. Come on. Because every day we fail. Every one of you make decisions every day. Sometimes 4, 5, 6, 7 an hour, depending on what you do. But you know what? We need, because of who we are in Christ, we have the right to confess that we have the wisdom to make proper decisions, even when everybody else is saying, no, you do it this way. And the Lord gives us this, you say, do it this way. There have been many times that I didn't know something, but I asked the Lord about it. I said, Lord, I ask for wisdom today. And as I go through the day, I make decisions that affect this ministry. I always pray for wisdom every day. I thank God because I'm in Christ. I have the wisdom. I have the knowledge. Come on. That's part of being in Christ. Now I'm sitting right over in that office at my desk. We were building buildings and so forth and so on. And so our banker brought another bank in that could give a loan. And so he's telling me all this stuff. And I have my wife's brother, he's a banker. He's the president of Inwood Bank Shares in Dallas. And so he gives me all this stuff. I told him, Gary, I got to talk to the bank. And he said, okay, you do this. So I'm sitting there, And I'm telling this guy, I said, this is what I want. This is, if we're going to do this loan, this is what I want. Now, he's sitting there humming and hawing and so forth and so on. And I'd asked for wisdom that day. And I'm sitting there, and he's the head of a huge banking corporation. And the Lord, he's not wanting to do the deal, and he's talking to our banker. Inside of me, I hear, get up and go over your desk and start signing those papers. There's papers over I need to be letters and stuff. And since when do you get up and you walk away from a negotiating table? Anybody tell you that's not good wisdom, but that's what the Holy Spirit's saying. See, God knows more than we do. So I went over and I said, I started signing letters. Him and the other banker were talking. Finally, he turned around and he said, are we going to do this deal? And out of my mouth came, and it was the Lord. I told you the deal, take it or leave it. And I had talked to all kinds of other banks, and none of them wanted anything to do with it. But that's what come out of my mouth. He looked at me, started funny. He said, okay, come on over here and sign the papers. But you see, that's all a part of the reality of who you are in Christ. He helps you in your normal everyday life. That's what I'm trying to get over to you. We can live the good life. Continually read these scriptures about who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ. Make the confession continually. Continually say, hey, I may be walking on this earth, but I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I may be breathing this oxygen, but I'm seated in heaven with Christ in heavenly places. Come on. You are victorious over the devil because of knowing who you are in Christ and standing up to him and letting him know that you know who you are in Christ. You know, that would be like somebody coming in here and saying, listen, we're taking over this property. They come up to me and tell me that. I said, wait a minute. You ain't coming in here and taking over nothing. I bought this property and I built all these buildings on it. And if you think you're coming in here, you got another thought coming. That's what you'd do if they come into your house and tried to tell you they're going to take over, right? But the devil comes in into you and starts saying, I'm going to take over, and people cow down. No, rise up just like you would if you walk out there right now to your car and there's a guy, he's saying, hey, get all your stuff out of here. This is my car now. You don't own it anymore. And you're not going to say, well, okay, I've been making payments on it, but I thought I paid for it. Okay. No, you ain't nobody going to do that. Right? Then why, when the enemy comes in, do we cow down? You need to bowl up and say, listen, Mr. Devil, you know who I am? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Now take your junk and get out of here. Everybody's saying, I preached long enough. I hope I stirred you up. That's what I came out here to stir you up of who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, help us to understand who we are and our rights and our privileges in Christ. Thank you, Father, that we will live the good life that you want us to have because of who we are in Christ and because of what your Son Jesus has done. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God.